Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
I'm Kevin.
And I am John.
And this is 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger, the podcast where we take a long, hard look back at some of our favorite action movies from the era of Arnold.
Schwarzenegger is the icon of the genre, and we're taking a deep dive into some of these 80s and 90s cult action movies and breaking them all the way down.
John, we made it.
I can't believe it. How did we get
Andrew,
here?
Andrew, are you still here?
I am still here. I'm excited actually see some arm wrestling in 2 consecutive episodes.
I can't believe you've stuck it out. We've made it to the last chapter in our breakdown of the 1987 classic Over the Top. If you've never seen this movie, there's something, I don't know, there's something right with you. You did it okay. You've lived life all right.
You did not have cable in the 90s.
That's right.
This is definitely one of those that anytime it popped on, anytime I was flipping through channels and it was on, I would stick around. Mm-hmm. This Bloodsport fell in that. Commando fell in that same category.
For sure.
It's just like you can't look away. Let me catch us up on the plot.
Yeah, tell us.
Well, leading up to this, there's been a lot going on. Lincoln Hawk, amateur truck driver, amateur arm wrestler, amateur father is involved in his arm. He's involved in an arm wrestling tournament in Las Vegas. Basically, the custody of his son is on the line.
We guess.
Like any good father, betting the custody of your child is the way to win their heart.
Oh my God.
But yeah, him and his estranged son have had a roller coaster of a relationship. Right now, the son's fighting to get back to him. He's got his evil grandfather who's trying to keep them apart. Somehow, against all odds, Hawk has made it down to the finals, the semifinals or quarterfinals or whatever, the big arm wrestling tournament, but he's lost his first match. So one more loss and he's out of here. That'll do it.
And he also refused a deal from the devil, from Cutler, who tried to pay him off to get him out of his life forever. And Hawk instead pushed Terry Funk through a door.
I stand by the fact that he should have taken that deal.
There's just no reason
not to have taken it.
We've already established that Hawk is not smart. Like father, like son. Like he passed that on genetically. That might be the only thing. So, all right, that'll get. Are you guys ready to dive into this edition now?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Let's do it. All right. So Hawk leaves back downstairs. The next round of the semis are getting ready to go. It looks like Hawk is facing Grizzly again. Grizzly says he's going to go through Hawk like gas through a funnel, which doesn't seem like a great burn, but it's made better because Grizzly then chugs a can of Valvoline. Because what the fuck is wrong with John Grizzly?
I want to point out, right when Hawk returns to the arena, the MC is reminding us for literally the 8th time that this is a double elimination tournament. Does everyone get it?
30 minutes of movie time pass, which is ample time for everyone in the room to have forgotten the 7 previous times that they were told that this is a double elimination. I'd also like to point out that everyone in this fucking building is sweaty as shit.
No AC in there. God. It's like probably May or June in Vegas.
Why is it everyone so sweaty? I don't know. Maybe it's the adrenaline.
Making the tournament double elimination was just ridiculous. It serves no purpose.
Agreed.
It could have been single elimination. It muddles the whole plot. Or maybe you just say once you get down to the final 4 or the final 8 or whatever, then it's best 2 out of 3 matches or something.
I think it would be with, Lincoln needed to be a higher stake involved. And that's the only conclusion that I can get to is that the writers and Stallone pow-wowed and were like, we need to make it, But I mean,
have him lose one,
I guess.
Yep. Well, and what's immediately confusing is that in this double elimination tournament, he goes right back to arm wrestling the guy he just lost to rather than going into some sort of loser's bracket
that he has to win his way out of.
Maybe Grizzly had previous. I mean, apparently Grizzly's lost a match somewhere previously in the tournament.
That's true.
Though,
that's possible.
Yep. So I don't know how it works, but I will say there's no difference between it being single elimination, do or die, or double elimination, but you've already got one loss under your belt. Because either way, it's like lose and go home.
Well, and that'll come back into play later.
Yeah.
The stakes would have been high all along if it was any loss and you're out. Because anyway, it doesn't fucking matter.
Well, I like, and maybe this doesn't come up right now, but like they don't, that he only has to win once at the end, right? They don't make him win two.
Unless Bull lost a match we didn't see.
We figure that in the final, it doesn't matter. It's sort of like winner take all in the final.
But so that's nonsense. That's
we can discuss it again when we get there. Grizzly chugs that motor oil, which doesn't seem to help him.
Because the indigestion does him no favors because Hawk beats him.
Hawk like just pumps his way to victory. He does that thing where it's like pump, pump, pump. I don't know if that's real technique. It seems unlikely that that's a winning technique because anytime you take your hand off, like your foot off the gas, it seems like the other dude might just be able to overpower you.
Right.
Once again, Grizzly complains about him being on his thumb.
Grizzly's a complainer. I'm not sure about the hand placement, about the thumb thing, but I think it's, it would give you more leverage and enable you to make them make your opponent unable to do anything with their wrist. It kind of locks them up.
Stallone seems like he has one of his like facial expressions being in the most pain that he's ever like in any of the arm wrestling fights here. Like he,
in the Grizzly match.
Yeah. Like his countenance is just like just grimaced as he's like and like it really accentuates that like weird kind of asymmetrical lip aspect thing of his face,
that sort of lip sneer thing he does.
Yeah.
Yep.
In this movie, unlike any other movie he's ever done, is that on display? Like his sneering.
He's exerting more effort, I think, than in a lot of the other movies is in. Like just pulling against these guys, and apparently was really giving as good as he got. Yeah, that's what I read. At least that's what they say. Who fucking knows?
Bull beats Bosco. He moves on to what they're calling the finals, but is not the final two.
The idea about finals here is weird because it's not like, you know, the final. It's the semis, like you would have said before, except they've already called something else the semis.
Right.
Yeah, the whole thing, it didn't
the
make
whole
sense,
tournament maybe. Thing is not well understood by whoever wrote the script.
Agreed.
I could see that. Carl Adams beats this, like, so Asian guy who we've never seen before rocking a Duracell t-shirt.
More product placement. Gotta get
he
it
does
in.
Not. He does not. That's not something you would want as Duracell as your brand to say that you lost. You didn't have the power.
Right. Jesus. You can top the copper top, apparently.
Then Mike is rolling in a cab. He's on his way to the Hilton.
Right.
In the last of the semifinal matches, this is where we've got Lincoln Hawk facing Mad Dog Madison.
All right.
Who, of course, he prevails. There was like this dude, first of all, Mad Dog. He's played by an actor, Randy Rainey, who he must have made an impression on Stallone because he played one of the main bad guys in Rambo 3.
I remember you telling me that. I don't remember the guy.
He was the main bad guy's like top henchman.
Okay.
This big hulking dude.
He's gigantic.
He is a terrifying, massive. Terrifying he's looking massive. Man.
But this match, man, was just marred by like overacting from both Stallone and Randy Rainey.
Agreed.
Like all types of sneering and screaming as if their lives were ending.
Yeah, the screams are inhuman is the only word that I can think of. It's like animals, like
bestial
bellowing. It's over the top.
Like truck. Mike, meanwhile, he finally arrives at the hotel.
Right.
I feel like it feels like he flew into fucking Reno and rode in a cab from Reno to Vegas because he's been in the cab all day. The whole tournament has passed by while he was riding in a car from the airport.
Maybe the cab driver took him in an indirect route to run that fare up.
He's got that Cutler money.
That's right.
I mean, the drive from LA to Vegas is like 4 or 5 hours. And I swear it feels like this journey that Mike has been on has taken 10 hours. It's been all day long.
Doesn't make any sense.
Got to say on that. Take it away, John.
Well, so we're now entering the next round of the final round, and we hear the announcer say that the final phase in the world of arm wrestling they call over the top,
like a truck.
And he introduces the four remaining finalists, first of whom is Bull Hurley, who apparently is from Jacksonville, Florida. Okay, I don't know why we needed that detail, but he is.
I could see him being a Florida guy, though.
Yeah, I fucking love the synthy, intense organ music in the background with the drums. Like during this part,
Georgia Moroder,
it's
baby.
Doing it for me. Next up is the aforementioned Canadian champ, Carl Adams, who takes some rowdy-ass slaps from some rando as he walks in the building.
I think that was Brzank who slapped him.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Oh, you slapped and fucking break your jaw. And then finally, then there's Harry Bosco, pride of the Teamsters from Boston, Massachusetts. He does not sound like a boss. He doesn't sound like he's from Boston. That's neither here nor there. He sounds like he's like from the South, right? He's like a Southern accent. I'm a fire plug and I'm going to light him up. It's like, doesn't sound like he's from Boston. And then finally the newcomer from the independent truckers, Lincoln Hawk. Hawk with no S. Hawk has been sitting staring at the Volvo this whole time and turns around like he hasn't heard a damn thing.
He's got that towel back on.
Yeah.
And then miraculously it's off again.
Right, exactly. It's like off, the fuck.
And then he's pulling it back on.
Jesus, Menachem.
Who gives a fuck?
Hawk is facing off against Harry Bosco, who's talking shit to him and telling him to get his elbow down.
They are just like jaw-jacking at each other. Yeah. There's a lot of rage on the set.
A lot of roid rage on the set.
Absolutely.
Mike arrives in the arena and cheers on his dad. They have lots of jawing at the tables. The refs are trying to maintain order. One of them threatens to fine Bosco if he doesn't get his arm down.
hear that? A fine?
Yeah, I watch it with the subtitles on.
Oh man, that's great.
Meanwhile, the guard from the gatehouse,
Alan Graff,
finds Mike in the crowd and starts to chase him. And this is where we just get like a fiesta of product placement. We see Pepsi, Duracell, Fujitsu, like all of these, more sports cream, more Alka-Seltzer, is just like a feast of logos from the 80s.
There was fucking Maglite ads around Carl's Jr.
Apparently there's a conference exhibition going on outside for batteries and Fujitsu.
Hell, Menachem? Gotta pay for that movie, baby.
I guess it's Las Vegas, but whatever.
Yeah, and maybe it's a conference going on right next door. So Bull and Carl's match has started, but Hawk and Bosco have yet to go, with Hawk just like pacing and Bosco egging him on. Hawk finally comes to the table. The two get set with some help from the refs because everyone's fucking amped. And before anyone can blink, Hawk somehow wins the match.
He caught him by surprise, man.
Yeah. Like they yell go. And that's apparently that, like, once the ref gets them set and yells go, it doesn't matter. Like if you feel like you're they don't say, are you ready? Bosco doth protest. but it takes four fucking guys to pull him off the stage. Yep. He's enraged.
This reminded me of Rocky III when Clubber Lang was having to be restrained.
Yeah.
Dude, then that made me think that, God, this movie would have been enhanced with Mr. T's presence.
Ooh, what if Mr. T had played Bull Hurley?
I could see it, man. I'd be into it.
I could see that. That wouldn't be a departure. I like it.
Mr. T would have been badass in this in some capacity.
He would have been that kind of cool ass villain.
And over the top, like a truck.
Like a truck. So over on Bull and Carl's table, Carl, though he tried as he might and was screaming and wheezing like a bitch, was unable to overcome Bull Hurley, who put him away pretty readily.
I feel like that's the match we should have been that should have been featured rather than the Hawk and Bosco
in the title. Yeah, probably. It was two like titans facing off against each other.
Yeah, that was an epic match.
Backstage, Mike finds Dad and tells him he had to see him and that he wants to stay with him. He's totally had a change of heart. But then Hawk says that Cutler probably won't let that happen. And besides, he has no money, no truck. He can't make a living because he sold his livelihood.
Hawk has found a woman's shirt to wear.
It looks like Flashdance. It looks like something from Flashdance.
It does.
It was like off one shoulder almost. It's such a big neck hole.
It just cut like just gigantic.
That's going to be my next Halloween costume.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
So Mike says that that none of that matters to him and that he believes his dad's going to win. Hawk says he has his doubts and sort of puts on his pouty face for this whole time and says that his last match is against Bull, who's never lost. And then in the last match, he pulled a little too hard, which is interesting because that match only lasted 1 second.
This fucking whole scene drives me crazy.
Yeah, agreed.
This scene would have made more sense if it had come right after he had taken the first loss.
Right.
Yeah,
because now he's one win away from winning everything.
Right.
And he's like lost all of his self-confidence now. And he's like, oh, geez,
what's against Bull?
This guy's the best. I don't know. If like, why is he such a fucking naysayer now?
I don't know.
It's really just to cue up Mike's big pep talk.
That's right. Yep. Mike asks if Hawk is saying, what are you saying? You're going to lose. And Hawk says, well, I might. And Mike says, Dad, you're a fucking idiot. You're a chicken shit. And now is the time to do for yourself. The world meets nobody halfway. If you want it, you got to take it. Way to go, Mike. Mike learned a thing.
Yeah, just fire his own words back at him.
That's right. Using his ammunition at right back.
I think it's safe to say, like, when it comes to Lincoln Hawk, we just have to face it that his character is a wishy-washy bullshit character.
Yeah.
Like, he's just saying whatever needs to be said at that moment in the film. But
agreed.
There's no consistency to his character.
Yeah. Reason for him to be involved in any of this
at all. Like why arm wrestling? How did he decide that that was going to be his side hustle? I just don't understand. Is it well known in the trucking community that arm wrestling is your hobby of choice?
If he walked into this fucking thing thinking that he was not likely to win, why the fuck did he sell his truck and bet it all on himself?
Yep.
He could have kept the truck and had a backup plan.
It doesn't make any, he doesn't think anything through. He is an irresponsible maniac. Mike tells Hawk that he can stop trying to prove himself and that it doesn't matter if he wins or loses. He just wants to be with his dad. And he tells him he loves him, which is nice. A touching moment.
I've never been less inspired than I was after Mike's pep talk.
Agreed. Same.
And there's just no chemistry between Stallone and Mendenhall.
No, none.
I was thinking I can't really ever remember Stallone having much chemistry with anyone in his career,
except for Adrian in the original.
I didn't think they had chemistry. Thought him and Carl Weathers had good chemistry.
Yeah, they did.
Him and Paulie.
Yeah, they definitely.
Yeah. Well, and I think that like Talia Shire and he had like chemistry in the fact that like they were both awkward as shit, and that was the whole point.
That was their dynamic. Yeah. There was a connection. You could feel a connection between the two characters.
It made sense.
I felt like also he had that with Mickey, but I also think that Burgess Meredith was doing all the heavy lifting.
Yeah,
of course.
Big time.
He carried Adam West on his shoulders. He can carry Sylvester Stallone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. making everybody look good. Now it's time for the main event, boys. The stage is set with this fucking underlit pedestal. The stage looks awesome. The announcer announces the referees from the International Arm Wrestling Council, whoever they are. And
there's a lot of them. There's half a dozen referees.
And man, there is no shortage of disparate but similarly named arm wrestling organizations in this movie.
Yes.
The finalists are announced again. First is Bull wearing his Kick-Ass Blaster t-shirt, which I also want. And I love, as Hawk is being introduced, the guy right behind the announcer's booing. It's like, not a Lincoln Hawk fan.
That's awesome. Oh, wait. So this is where they do establish, if they say Bull undefeated in 5 years,
right,
that means he hasn't lost a match yet in the double elimination tournament that has been 8 times established, eightfold.
That's right. That's amazing. Way to go, Bull.
Apparently it's not double elimination anymore, though.
Yeah,
no, seemingly not.
Oh, fuck it.
Not the last round anyway. The announcer then calls Lincoln the man who has surprised everybody here today, really driving that underdog narrative home. Mm-hmm. But then just to make sure we're all paying attention, he calls them David and Goliath. as Bull and Hawk circle the platforms, the announcer goes through what is at stake again. We get some more previously recorded interview footage. First is Bull.
Yes.
Yep. Fucking tell us about what Bull says. This is, God, he's awesome.
All right. I'll talk about Bull. First, I will say his performance is fucking incredible.
Agreed.
Like he feels, when he says something, I believe it's real.
Absolutely.
You know, but he's saying like, he doesn't even belong on my arm wrestling table. That's my area. That's my game. He has no shitting business there. I love shitting as an adjective.
Yeah. Shitting as an adjective is the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
He says it 3 to 4 times in the next 3 to 4 minutes, I think.
I love it.
But dude, great fucking story on Zumwalt and how he was cast. Like, did you read that essay that he had written online? I think
No. Before
he's passed away now, right?
Yeah, he died at the age of 53 in 2003 or 52 of a massive heart attack, unfortunately.
So on some arm wrestling blog, I think he had written a thing one time just about this, his background with this movie. And he said, you know, that he got the invitation from the producers to come and meet sometime in the early 80s, like many, many years before the film actually happened.
Right.
And he said they told him they loved him and they were going to put him in the movie. And then he didn't hear a word about it for years. And until the script wound up in Stallone's lap and he had the mojo to get the project back up and running.
Right.
So they brought him back in and they told him he was going to have a small part. Then he was going to have a bigger part. Then he was going to be the main bad guy. And then he wasn't going to be in at all because they were going to make this guy Cleve Dean the lead.
Jesus.
Cleve Dean, we talked about, he was like this massive dude, but they decided he was just too fucking big.
Yeah.
So they brought him back in to do a screen test with Stallone, and someone told him to like try to scare Stallone, like do your best psych out. So he said he turned around, came in, nice guy, shaking hands and everything like that, and turned his back and then just whipped back around and gave his best psych out. Like, didn't get physical with him, but he said Stallone, like, sort of ran and hid behind the bodyguards that he had in the room, which I kind of buy that.
I do, too.
And he thought, yep. Oh, my gosh, I fucking blew it. And they said, all right, you can leave now. And he left and then got the call, said Sly loved him and he wanted him for the part.
Fuck yeah.
So he said that was the end of his arm wrestling career. And after that, he was like strictly doing movies and television and stuff, but pretty fucking rad.
Gone too soon. RIP Rick Zumwalt, but man, what a badass. So the two are circling the table, psyching each other out. We hear the announcer saying that Bull outweighs Hawk by 100 pounds. Easy. And the competition's about to begin as Hawk comes to the table. We cut to his interview footage. And this is my Ellis moment of this movie. I think it's all my Ellis moment. And this is a line that we've been quoting this entire series.
It's everything.
The line that we quote probably to the annoyance of some of our more loyal listeners. But Hawk says, what I do is I just try to take my hat and I turn it around. It's like a switch that goes on. And when the switch goes on, I feel like another person. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like a truck.
Like, every time I think about that monologue, I just giggle because it's so fucking dumb.
Yeah. Everything Lincoln Hawk says is dumb.
Like anyone is wondering why he's switching his hat, like it turning his hat around. Like,
that has to be something that Stallone came up with. Like, this is going to be a little character thing that I do, very subtle.
It's got to
be. I'm going to spell it out in the third act.
Yeah, he does it. He's no mystery with Stallone at the table.
It adds no depth. It adds no depth to
if
the
anything,
character.
If anything, it makes the character seem worse. It's like, I like you even less.
He's more shallow now.
Yeah.
He's
at the
just
table,
a machine.
Bull tells Hawk, I own you, which is something that me and my brothers used to say to each other in that voice all the time.
Bull is fucking amazing, dude. Yep. I love it.
The things that he's able to do with his voice are crazy. Like,
he's telling me that he's been ducking. You've been ducking me for years. You have no chance.
Yeah.
We switch back to Hawks here, too.
Oh, Jesus. Fuck.
He calls
it is Bull.
He calls him Hawks.
Bull only ever calls him Hawks.
Yeah.
I like to imagine, because by this point in the production, in the tournament, he had gone back to being strictly Hawk.
Yeah.
Yep.
That they might have told Rick Zumwalt, like, call him Hawk. He's Hawk now. He's not. And Zumwalt's like,
fuck you.
I've been calling him Hawks the whole movie. I'm not about to change now.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that.
Hawk is slow to come to the table. Mike's yelling encouragement. Bull's trash talk game is brutal. He tells, "You got no power. Back off. I'm going to give you a world of hurt, little man."
It's like a Macho Man kind of thing. Like Randy totally Savage. Is. It's like Randy Savage.
The refs are trying to get the men in position. Cut back to the interview footage of Bull. All I want to do is hurt him, cripple him. It's like, yes, fucking killer.
That's,
man,
so good.
Yeah,
this would have been the moment if you wanted to stick with the double elimination thing that Bull could have said, "You know what, Hawk, I'm gonna give you one.
Yep.
Just so that it's, so we're on equal footing, and just let him take him one time. But no, they just fuck it.
Or, well, we can talk about this in a second, but when he punches him, that was an automatic disqualification.
Maybe.
In arm wrestling, that is an automatic disqualification. I bet that's what it was, and that we're meant to, but it should have been like in.
Oh, so he lost that match
the match by DQ. Him. Yeah.
Okay. I like that. Would have made more sense. You just need the announcer to say that.
Yeah.
But they glossed over it instead of telling us it's double elimination until it's obviously not double elimination anymore. So the ref calls ready, go. The match is on. Both men are struggling. It appears Hawk is getting pulled over, but then Bull starts complaining that Hawk let go. And the refs are like, "No, he didn't." They unlock hands. Bull gets confrontational with the refs, and they tell him that if he touches a ref again, he's gone. They're like pushing him and like poking him with his giant meat hand.
It always looks like Bull is the one who has lost his grip to me here.
Right.
It looks like Bull has the one, like, is sliding down Hawk's arm, not like the other way around.
I agree. I know literally nothing about arm wrestling, but I will say it looked like Hawk had a pretty fucking good grip there. They just slipped apart, as two sweaty hands probably will do.
Right. Bull is enraged. He taunts Hawk again. Hawks, rather. The refs are trying to get...
He says, "I'm going to rip your shitting arm off."
Yeah, he says that if they... We hear, because they came apart, they're now going to use a strap, which is... that is something that they do. This was my first and maybe most memorable recollection of hearing someone say, "I own you." And for years, he said it once before just regularly, but then he says it in like this crazy voice. And for years, whenever I said that to anyone in jest, because I've never had to say it for real, I said it in that scary Bull voice. As the refs are strapping the men in, Cutler finds Mike in the crowd and tells and that they're going home when this is over. But Mike,
I'm gonna let you watch the watch the end, but then we're leaving.
Them strapping the hands together is the thing that I remember most as a kid watching this movie. Like, that was the pinnacle to me of Daniel LaRusso's like crane kick moment at the end,
or
it's like one of those like very 80s tropes of like, this is going to be our thing. This is going to make it the like intense moment is when they strap those two hands together. Oh. And I like, that is a very vivid image in my mind.
Same.
In 4x3 alone.
It's implausible that this would have been the first time that we've seen the strap in the whole tournament.
Right.
But as a storytelling device, it's brilliant. It just makes everything feel so much more intense and epic.
It is very memorable. It harkens to the Beat It music video with the knife fight.
Yeah.
Yes, they tie them together.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
It's probably the same system.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah.
Hawk looks over at his son and appears rightfully somewhat distracted from the match. When they're both fully strapped in, Bull sucker punches Hawks, which was a real thing. Like, Stallone knew it was coming, but he didn't know when it was coming and wanted him to really hit him. And so, like, Bull Hurley really punched Stallone in the face at that moment and bloodied his nose. And so that apparently is an automatic disqualification. So I think now we can.
All right. So now we're on equal footing.
I'm good with it now.
But it would have been awesome if Bull had then looked at him and said, "You can have that one." Like, right? Wouldn't that have been a badass time to drop that line?
Give us some exposition to let us know what's happening.
Right.
At least. But that moment that Mike and Lincoln have locked eyes, like, it all becomes clear that custody of Mike is at stake. Like, this is, it's become clear that legal documents be damned.
Yeah.
Whoever wins this arm wrestling match
gets the boy.
arm wrestled each other then.
Would that have meant that Bull would have been Mike's dad? Yeah.
How much do you remember that Blues Brothers? The women, how much for the women? The little girl.
Oh my God, it's so awesome. So when the match starts, Bull has the early advantage. Hawk battles back. Bull taunts and pulls Hawk back the other way. All of a sudden, Hawk makes a move to even things up again. Both men are struggling. Apparently, they were really going at it hard at each other. Like, Stallone was like in it. They were both in it hard, and that Zumwalt was like shocked that Stallone was like being a maniac and like going for it as hard as he was.
How many times do you think they just like ripped ass while doing this? Because like you got a lot of
there's a lot of torque.
There's a lot of squeezing going on, like full body convulsion kind of situation. Like I imagine that they're all sweaty from just trying to hold in farts the entire time that they're like doing this.
Yeah, or they're not holding in farts, and that's just adding to the man stench.
Just the humidity in the building is from that, and so it's all sweaty.
Jesus Christ.
Apparently there are lots of like inhuman noises from both guys in this, and one of them is like Bull Hurley, like Zumwalt's scream is a legit scream, and that at that moment he had like dislocated his shoulder.
Ugh. I read the same thing.
One of those screams is real. Bull and Hawk both look pained and tired. They look terrible. Like Hawk looks like the veins, like his neck is just going to explode. Bull has Hawk almost down, but it's at that moment that Hawk readjusts his hand to this, the top roll, which we've talked about, where you get leverage by covering as much of your opponent's hand as possible and then rolling your hand over.
Man, I would say once Bull gets his, like once he gets on top of you, just sheer mass of that man, I feel like that's like all she wrote once he gets the leverage. But you know,
for Hawk to somehow pull back in and get back inside and start to roll Bull over seems at that moment entirely impossible. Like completely implausible.
It's all happening in excruciating slow motion.
Yes.
If they let all the matches play out in real time, I feel like the movie would have been about 15 minutes shorter.
Yeah, definitely. Stallone and Zumwalt going at it. After much effort, he finishes Bull off after top rolling him. Lincoln Hawk is the new champ. Mike runs up on stage to hug his dad. Bull is surprisingly a gracious loser.
Yeah, man, lose like a winner.
Like raising his hand. That's why I think is like Bull is the only character with like, he's the only real human being in the whole movie.
Got a character arc.
Yeah.
A man's got to have a code.
He's sort of like Johnny, because Johnny was also a gracious loser in Karate Kid.
Yeah, he was like, good match, LaRusso, you're all right. I love that.
He puts that sweaty hat on Mike, which is like it's the Bono hat, which we haven't really talked about. But
that's right.
Yes. Let's tell us about the Bono hat, which you're wearing one right now.
That's right. We're wearing them. And Kevin's, yours is here, as we've talked about, being it's waiting on you for the next time you're able to visit in Houston. But Bono, from a Google search, I think it still exists, but a South Carolina based trucking company. And I would love to know how much they paid to have the name of the company on Stallone's head or on Mike's head for the entirety of this movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least.
And so, but yeah, we were talking about like this was Mr. Bono's, like, he's not a great businessman, but he was like putting all his eggs in one basket, is like making a business decision. He was like, man, we're going to kill it. We're going to kill the game. It's like, we're going to put all of our family savings down just to have Stallone wear our trucking hat. And then the business tanked, like they lost the company.
It is a good looking hat though.
Yeah. It actually is. It is an awesome hat.
It's
high quality materials. So let's see, Cutler with Tim and Terry Funk in tow looks on with resignation. So he must I was wondering, is it like a situation where he's saying, now Hawk has proven to me that he can see something through to the finish line, or I see that Mike really wants to be with him, and who am I to break that up? Like,
I can't see any of that. No court documents can compete with the arm wrestling trophy.
No.
You show up and you tell that custody, the family court judge, like, but check out this.
Or the judge is like, oh shit.
I think there was a clause in the contract. Mm-hmm. In the event that Lincoln Hawk wins the World Arm Wrestling Championship, this contract is null and void.
Well, ostensibly, too, Hawk has yet to sign any papers.
No, I thought he had to sign it before they let him out of jail.
I thought that he had to draw up the papers, but we don't know if he ever really signed anything.
Oh, shit. So now Cutler's going to press charges again.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm into it.
That's the sequel.
Yeah, I love it. Then the next morning as they're leaving the hotel, Hawks has apparently slept in one of his many outfits from the day before.
The denims. Yeah. His sleeping denims.
pajama denims. I love it. Mike asks why they don't just start their own trucking company. They should call it Sun and Hawks, said no one ever.
Yeah. Like just
the stupidest sounding name I've ever heard of in my life. Nothing has ever been Sun and somebody's name.
Of course not.
Sun and Sanford. Bullshit. And Hawk is like, as he's putting the Hawk hooded ornament on, his sweet new rig says, "What about Hawk and Sun?" And Mike acts like it's the first time anyone has ever said anything like it.
Mm-hmm.
He concedes, that just might work.
Yeah. Mind blown. I think that just might work, fucking dumbass. As they get in the truck, Mike asks if he might drive, which I would reply, not till this bitch is insured, dumbass. Like, no. Do you realize how much pain and agony we had to endure in the fucking fuckovers from your grandfather to get here?
Or ever. Like, you could drive my shit truck. I knew that was a shit truck. That was the one you could drive. This one's fine.
You should go buy that one back for, like, sentimental reasons.
I was about to say, I hope that he went back and got that truck back. Absolutely. Right. And that can be Mike's learner model. Why not?
Yeah.
They load up in the truck and roll out to the opening refrain of "Take It Higher." Another fucking earworm that I've lived with for 30 fucking years.
Is that the Sammy Hagar?
No, Sammy Hagar sang the song during the tournament.
The big tournament montage song.
Yeah.
Which every one of these has to have. That's an amazing music video that everyone should watch.
Yeah. Oh my
Hagar,
God. It's so
Hagar
bad.
Beating Stallone in an arm wrestling match.
I just found it hard to believe that Stallone let himself be beat in that fake arm wrestling match. Even the fake arm wrestling match.
Pride there.
Yeah,
a lot of pride
to let Sammy to let the Red Rocker beat him.
What happens next in this story? Is Mike just no more school for Mike? He lives in the truck now with Dad.
I mean, a military academy apparently only goes through grade 6 because he's 12, and so you're done. Now you go
but
work.
There were older kids there. I wonder if there's a graduation ceremony at the end of every single year.
Probably,
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
But I'm just, what happens now for Mike Hawk? Is he Mike Hawk now?
Yeah, he's Mike Hawk. Yeah. Does he follow in Dad's footsteps in the world of arm wrestling? Definitely becomes a truck driver, which is, we got to have them. They're an important job, part of our economy. So nothing wrong with that. But is that, I guess that's...
Well, Hawk said something about, I'd like to start my own company and I'm a smart guy like you be the president of the company. So maybe he's going to be like a white collar guy.
Yeah. Just hands over the keys at 13. He starts running the business.
Yes.
Do we want to see the sequel with Stallone playing Lincoln Hawk as an old man?
I want to see a prequel that explains what the fuck happened to the Hawk family.
Under the Top.
That's fucking brilliant.
Yep.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
Let's watch that one. It has to have the same like metal fucking typeface that Over the Top has.
Oh yeah, we didn't gnarly. Even talk about the fact that the logo for this movie looks like a metal band album cover.
This is fucking
like sharp like teeth looking letters and shit. God damn.
It's like Hawk's talons or something.
Oh yeah.
This movie is a mess.
So credits roll. Yeah. We see Stallone played the character of Lincoln Hawk on the credits.
No S.
So I made a tally as I was watching the Hawk versus Hawks.
I love it.
I'm going to run down them. This is the argument in favor of Hawk.
All right.
The credits seem the most official.
Yep.
Right. He calls himself Hawk most often.
And it's on his truck.
The scoreboard at the tournament said Hawk. Most of the characters in the film call him Hawk. As you say, the truck. He's looking for Christina Hawk in the hospital.
Yep.
In jail, the lawyer calls him Hawk, and the MC of the tournament calls him Hawk.
No, the cop in jail calls him Hawks.
The cop calls him Hawks.
And then the lawyer calls him Hawk. Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha.
Now in Hawks, in the Hawks column, when he's betting on himself, he calls himself Hawks.
Jesus fucking Christ.
All the letters that he had written to the kid said Hawks. The voiceover on the trailer for the film calls him Hawks.
God damn it.
So as they were advertising the movie, they were advertising, you're going to see a movie about Lincoln Hawks.
Yep.
Sounds about Cutler's right. Lawyer did call him Hawks in some other occasions. When he's identifying himself at Cutler's house at the gate, he calls himself Hawks.
Right.
Yeah, Cutler calls him Hawks to his face and he doesn't correct him. And then the jail guard, yeah, is calling him Hawks nonstop. So fuck it.
I mean, in the truck stop scene, the Smasher calls him Hawk. And then Bull calls him Hawks 10 seconds later. Like,
yeah, there's no consistency.
No.
What do we think? I think it's, I guess it's meant to be Hawk. I think they shot half the movie and then changed their mind.
I think that it is, his character's name is Lincoln Hawk. My entire life, I've thought it was Lincoln Hawk. And then was just like, I don't know why anyone calls him Hawk.
It sounds cooler. I think they shot the first third of the movie with his name being Hawks and then realized Lincoln Hawk sounded better and just changed it and said, fuck the audience. We don't care.
I just don't see any situation where someone would have Hawks plural as a last name.
I agree. It doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
It sounds weird. It sounds like a nickname.
Yeah. Unless he like was a procurer or collector of Hawks or an ancestor was that. Like, it's not like his last name is Falconer or something.
Yeah,
like,
I was about to say, came from a long line of Falconers.
Where he like was over like raptor birds. I mean, it just, it doesn't make any sense. Hawk, just Hawk, period.
Please.
I like Hawk. Hawk is cleaner, right?
Yeah.
It looks better on the side of the truck.
It sounds more American too. Right? It sounds more, it's like,
especially with a first name like Lincoln.
God damn it. I didn't even think about that, that his name is Lincoln Hawk. Abraham Lincoln. This America, baby. America.
Reagan's America.
It sounds not too far from Lincoln Log.
I love me some Lincoln Logs, baby.
But that's plural, so that maybe goes in the Hawks category. Lincoln Logs, Lincoln Hawks.
I love this movie spawned a line of arm wrestling action figures. Did you see those?
Yes, I remember. I remember commercials for them.
I don't remember that, but I just, and I read a story where David Mendenhall, the actor who played Mike, got hurt shortly after the movie came out, and Stallone came and visited him in the hospital. Nice guy.
Nice. Yeah,
and gifted him an over-the-top action figure.
Nice.
What, I hope that it was. I hope it was of himself.
I think I'm sure it was
of Stallone or of Mendenhall.
No, there was no Mendenhall figure.
Mendenhall receiving a Mendenhall action figure.
That would have been
with
badass.
His one sleeve torn off the.
Ooh, yeah.
But no, there was so the action figure line. There was a Stallone figure, of course. Oh, and the packaging for the action figure says Lincoln Hawks.
God damn it. God damn it.
There was a Bull Hurley figure, and then there was a John Brzenk figure and a Cleve Dean figure and a Johnny Walker figure, who was another famous arm wrestler, a real guy. Right. And there was a John Grizzly figure. And the figures are fucking awesome.
Do they have like Kung Fu grip, like a G.I. Joe, except that it's like an arm wrestling action, or is it just like,
I think so. I think so. I think they bend at the elbow somehow, and yeah, you can make them wrestle each other. But man, poor kid, this fucking David Mendenhall, he won 2 Razzies for this movie.
Yep.
Worst supporting actor.
Yep.
And worst new star. That's cold-blooded for a kid.
He's not lovable in this movie at all.
No.
There's nothing redeeming about him whatsoever. No.
Oh, the other thing he's best known for is he did the voice of Daniel on on Transformers the movie.
That's the note that I forgot to add. I forgot completely until you had told me that he was in. That's another movie that's going to get the treatment. Like maybe the only animated movie we'll ever do, but we're going to have to do it. It's so fucking good.
You guys should look up pictures of him now. He has not aged well.
No, time has not been kind to Mendenhall.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to have to Google him.
He's sort of busted looking.
Damn, that's a shame. That over the top money didn't take him very far in life. All that the residuals.
What is his career now?
I think he's still in show business.
Is he?
I saw he still had the occasional credits on IMDb, but maybe it's just a side gig, side hustle.
Maybe he's moved into voice acting exclusively, possibly.
Stallone claimed after the movie came out that he was unhappy with the final product. But yeah, this movie was absolutely tanked. And there were good ass movies that came out this year, man.
Yeah.
I had jotted some down from our sort of genre. Mm-hmm. Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Winner.
Came out, made a ton of money. Lethal Weapon.
Shit.
Lethal Weapon, Predator, RoboCop, Crocodile Dundee, Running Man, and fucking Stallone is fucking around in an arm wrestling movie while action classics are being made.
Yeah, well, he another took that $12 million check to the bank, baby.
Another canon film came out in 1987, Superman 4. The Quest for Peace.
Oh, God, that's right.
That probably also helped to bankrupt Cannon. Those guys, man, they had a lot of money and didn't know what to do with it.
They had a lot of vision and no creative, good creative impulse whatsoever.
Well, it makes sense to be like, oh, Superman's a good property. That should be a cash cow.
Yep.
But then not if you make a terrible movie, though.
Yeah, not if you...
Like, oh, if we could sign Stallone to a movie... It's got to be a hit. Well, not if you put him in a dog shit movie, though.
You can get away with that like once. Like,
yeah.
That was Cobra.
You know, you can make a terrible movie, but after that, people start looking.
Cobra was the one free one, which apparently was also like on a $20 million-ish dollar budget.
Yeah.
Didn't do well in America, but did well overseas and ended up doing about $150 million worldwide, which is good for Cannon.
Yeah, that's great for Cannon. Fed everyone for years.
It probably payrolled this movie, Superman, and a few more bombs.
Yep.
oh man. My God. Well, that's over the top, people.
Shit.
I still love it as much as we've shit all over it. I still love this movie, and I'm still going to watch it.
It's a pretty good shitting movie.
I'm going to watch it again right now.
Please don't.
I'm not
Please
going
don't
to
punish yourself.
I'm going to eat some tacos, baby. It's time to order that favor.
Andrew, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We cannot wait to have you again. This has been a dream come true to do this movie and to do it with two of my besties. And so we hope that you guys will tune in next week for some all new 6 Degrees.
Yeah, we'll be back with something awesome. We promise.
And stay safe out there. Wash your hands. Wear your mask.
We'll be back. Take it home.